ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We are joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, ESPN NFL Nation Titan reporter, host of Talking with TD. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. TD, a nice day yesterday to beat Trevor Lawrence. 5 years, $275 million, $142 million guaranteed. If you care about the annual average value, that's $55 million per year. What did you make of that deal for Trevor Lawrence and the commitment from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are obviously going to be keeping an eye on things here if you're a Titans fan on how things go with Lawrence and the Jags?
Yeah, I mean, it's something they had to do, and that was simply because you can't let Trevor Lawrence walk, and he may not be good enough to get that type of contract. I mean, that's, you're talking Joe Burrow area code, so I don't think that he should get that type of deal, but, I mean, that's the way it works, right? Because if you're the latest to sign a deal, you're going to get that money, and it's just, that's the business.
Well, TD, like going deeper on that, you know, like you said, it is the business, the quarterback market right now. That's just the cost of it. And, you know, Jordan Love's going to get paid a lot of money. Tua's going to get paid a lot of money. Dak, we know that. You know, by the time that, let's say Levis works out and is really, really good, by the time his contract is up, I mean, could quarterbacks be in the $60 million per year range? Like, how far do you see this going with the quarterback position?
I mean, it could get there definitely by the time he's going to be up. I mean, look, this is only year two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he has two more years after this. And, you know, those deals are just going to continue to get, you know, piggybacked off of each other and continue to set the floor for each other. So, yeah, I mean, $60 million is something that I could see him getting. And, well, not him getting, but, you know, if he's good enough to – you know, get a big deal, I could see that happening. So it's really going to depend on him. And it's got to be pretty cool to know, like, hey, man, if I just go out and do my thing, I got $60 million a year coming to me.
Well, that and, like, TD, from the Titans standpoint, and you could make this same case if you're Houston, and I think you're seeing Houston do it in real time this offseason, how much more important does that make it? If Levis can work out and Callahan's system and all that stuff works out, the next couple of years here, while you're not paying him that much money, how much does that accelerate your kind of go-for-it window if you're the Titans, knowing that at some point if it does work out, and it's a good problem to have, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to happen, but at some point if it does work out, you're going to have to pay a ton of money to Will Levis at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you do. While you have a quarterback that seems to be playing well, and you build around them on that low-cost rookie deal. The Seattle Seahawks set the mark for that. The 49ers did the same thing, right? You know, with Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, and they just went and they invested around those guys. And in the Seahawks' case, they won a championship. The 49ers, you know, they went to the Super Bowl, and it was the formula. And I think that's what Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker, Anthony Robinson, I think that's what they're doing, right? They feel that this is a good year to gauge it, to see how good this guy could actually be, and they built around him, and I think they're going to continue to do that if he shows that he's worthy of it.
Teron, yesterday we had Zach Lyons on the show, and I asked him this question, and I would be curious for your opinion as well. With a lot of the attention, certainly, has been on Will Levis, as we've just discussed, the offensive line, the new additions on offense. Of all of your takeaways from the off-season training program, and as we're getting ready in the next several weeks to go into training camp, which storyline do you feel like is perhaps most under the radar? Something that you took away from what you've seen so far under Brian Callahan that maybe we're not talking about enough compared to the other things?
That's a good one. Because we've pretty much covered everything. What are we not talking about enough? I would probably say the depth at safety, right? Because you look after those two, Elijah Molden and Imani Hooker, I mean, they're pretty solid players, right? But the problem is the availability. You know, both of them have dealt with injuries every year they've been in the league. So behind them, you don't have really an established, proven player. So I think that's probably the biggest thing, because if something should happen to one of them, yeah, it's there's a lot of questions to be asked.
We saw Marcus May sign with the Dolphins over the past few days. There are veteran safeties available. Are there any out there that you would be in favor of the Titans going after?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear Justin Simmons is the best out there. He's not the same type of player he was, where he was that ultimate center fielder that would erase issues or mistakes, you know, from the cornerbacks, or that could come up and match up with any tight end. He's not that same guy, but he's still a very good player. So he would be the one that I would sign. And, with him, the way he is, you know, he could come in and hit the ground running, and he would be the best addition. But you got others, right? I mean, obviously there's the connection to Jamal Adams from Denard Wilson, having worked with him with the Jets for a season or two. So you have that also. But I think the best fit and the best player would be Justin Simmons.
So, TD, we've spent about as much possible time as we can talk about the offensive line this offseason, and deservedly so. I mean, we know how bad it was last year and Bill Callahan coming in and all that stuff. Let me ask you this. Skoronski last year, obviously you're talking about a rookie at left guard with an offensive line around him that was not very good. If Latham hits and he's really good on the left side, we know what Cushenberry brings up the middle. How much of a difference tangibly do you think that makes in Skoronski's game, even outside of his own improvement, which I'm sure he'll have this year? How much of a tangible difference do you think we're going to see in Skoronski's game this year if the conditions around him on the right and to the left of him are significantly improved?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big difference. And I liken it to this. You know, last year with what he had around him, it was kind of like putting a guy in the pool, putting two people in that aren't really good swimmers, you know, or even just putting them in the lake or the ocean or whatnot. And he has to obviously keep himself afloat, but he has to help those guys stay afloat too. And it's just hard to do that. And then also, I mean, we know the situation, you know, where he had to have the surgery and everything like that, and he still came back and played. But if you look at him now, he's just visibly bigger. And there's just a different confidence to him also. And those are the things that you get, right? When you do something for a whole year, you come back that second year, you're like, yeah, I know what it takes. I know what I got to do. And I think that's where he is.
So, TD, this was an off season of change, and we're not going to really truly begin to find out what it all means and how equipped this new staff is until the games start to be played. But just from your experience, from your being around Brian Callahan and this new staff, what sort of impression have they left on you through the off season to this point about their preparedness, about their ability to step in and to really make an impact quickly with this group?
Yeah, it's a systematic approach to teaching. I think that's really the big thing. You're not hearing anybody out there, well, Denard Wilson will curse you out, but for the most part, you don't hear too many people out there, you know, dog cursing at anybody or just really, it's a different approach. And I think, you know, what they're doing is working to build these guys up, and who knows what's happening inside the building as far as those conversations are. But what we've seen on the field in a limited time is definitely, it's just an emphasis on teaching.
Well, TD, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this weekend. Happy Father's Day to you this weekend. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week, and tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Yeah, for sure. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there as well. As for ESPN Bet, it's the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN and the only place to find special offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities throughout the summer. As a new user, you can get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So download ESPN Bet today. What a play. For problem gambling and support, call or text the TN Red Line at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. And also, pray for me. My allergies are flaring this morning.
Hey, you powered through, man. That's why you're a pro. You're the best in the business. You just powered right through it.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. TD joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your reaction to what TD had to say on all things Titans. Also get back into the big deal for Trevor Lawrence yesterday. Coming up next. Titans fans, what do you make of it? 5 years, $142 million guaranteed, $275 million total $55 million per year. Big payday for Trevor Lawrence. We'll take your reaction on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road,
1025.
Tune in to
1025
The Game this Sunday for coverage of Adam Vingan's favorite event of the year, the Iowa Corn 350. Coverage will begin at 5 o'clock, the race starting at 6 p.m. Coverage also available on the 1025 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. The Savannah Bananas coming to Nashville, and you can meet the team's players and coaches, plus win tickets to their sold-out games this weekend. Join Chase McCabe and Big Joe today from 9 to 11 at the Duncan in Cool Springs at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard for more details. Appreciate
this
Jerron Davenport.
This is the coolest thing ever.
The folder continues to grow for
Who
Nick
Who was
Kizer.
That?
That was me.
That
I don't know
you?
What I was yelling about.
Oh, yeah, what are you yelling at? That didn't sound like you. I don't think that's my favorite event.
The Iowa Corn 350?
No. It might be the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Okay. Not anymore, though.
All right. Thanks to Jerron Davenport for being with us in the last segment. Trevor Lawrence, 5 years, $275 million, 142 fully guaranteed. I always love this. So, like, Rappaport put out this tweet yesterday. Trevor Lawrence, sources say, they're giving the former number one overall pick a 5-year extension worth $275 million, $55 million a year, with $200 million guaranteed and $142 million fully guaranteed. Like, the guaranteed versus fully guaranteed in the NFL is a funny thing to me. But that's a lot of money for Trevor Lawrence. If you care about the annual average value, the average per year, $55 million. So that's a lot of money for Trevor Lawrence. I am totally with TD. If you go based on achievement, he has not earned that deal yet. Now, that's also the going rate for quarterbacks at the moment. In some ways, you're also like projecting forward here. Like, Trevor Lawrence has been, I think we would all agree, he has been good enough where you can't afford, if you're Jacksonville, to just let him go. Now, Jared brought up the idea of tagging him earlier, and I guess you could have done that if you're Jacksonville, but that begins to create a strain on the relationship, and, you know, different players respond to that differently. So, obviously, Jacksonville didn't want to do that. This could end up working out really well for them. Like, if Lawrence takes the next step forward and lives up to what he was drafted to be, then this is going to be right in line with what he should make, right? Like, you know, he was drafted to be not just a really good quarterback. He was drafted to be a generational type of quarterback. Like, that was the hype around him heading into the draft. At this point, I don't know that he's going to be that. Like, I don't know that Trevor Lawrence is ever going to be the generational type of player. Can he be a great player in the league for a long time? Yeah, I'll leave the door open for that possibility. I've not seen it yet. I think you've seen flashes of it. There have been games, there have been instances where he's looked really, really good. It just hasn't happened consistently enough yet to this point. It's a really interesting division. We talked about this a little earlier in the show. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is 24. He'll be 25 in early October. So you're talking about him as the veteran of the quarterback group in this division. He's 24 years old. CJ Stroud is 22. I think Anthony Richardson is 22. And Will Levis is a little bit older than that. How old is Will Levis? Is he 23, 24? Kind of right in that age. My internet's gone out, so couldn't tell you.
Good time for the internet to go out in the middle of your show.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyway.
Will Levis is 24.
24. So the point is, it's a really young quarterback division. Lawrence is the first one. He's been in the league the longest to get the big money. If I ask Titans fans right now which quarterback you're most worried about moving forward, I don't think Lawrence would be the answer. It would probably, if not unanimously, almost unanimously, be C.J. Stroud based on the year he had a year ago. You know, C.J. Stroud's year last year was better than anything we've seen from Lawrence to this point.
Yes.
Richardson is a total unknown. The ability, he's got all the ability in the world, but he's a total unknown at this point. So I think the answer would be Stroud if Titans fans had to identify the quarterback they're most worried about. There is a chance, though, that this quarterback division, the quarterbacks in this division, are all good, right? Like, is the likelihood that it works out that way? No, because it's just hard to do that in the NFL. But you're talking about a skill set in Will Levis that we're going to find out a lot more about this year that I think has the chance to be a pretty good player. Richardson, if you love the combine testing, he's the most athletic quarterback in the history of the combine. So you've got that. Can he stay healthy? Can he put it all together? Those are different questions. But the ability, at least, you know, is there. We saw it from Stroud last year. Can he take another step this year? And Lawrence has been a good player. So there's a chance that this time 10 years from now, all four of these guys are still the quarterback of their respective teams. Is the likelihood that it's going to work out that way? Probably not. But this is a really intriguing division. And I think the initial shell shock yesterday when people saw the money that Trevor Lawrence got paid, that's going to be what quarterbacks make. Like, if Will Levis is really good, 2 years from now when they have to make a decision on him, he's going to make a ton of money. Like, he's going to be in that $60 million range because that's what the quarterback going rate is going to be by that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lawrence to take a step back last season from the season before, the season where the Jaguars won the division. I thought this was interesting from The Athletic. In 2022, Lawrence ranked 10th on the passes that were on target percentage. So 78.2% of his passes in 2022 were on target, and that was 10th in the league. Last year, it dropped to 73.8, and that was 40th. And according to The Athletic, that the issue started before the late season injuries.
Yep.
So he struggled last year. Injuries were a part of it, but he did struggle last year.
I do feel like there's some level in this discussion of him getting maybe a little bit too much of a pass.
Okay.
Like, everybody washes away the first year with Urban Meyer, and I get it. Like, it was a total disaster. So I'm sympathetic to that. I'm largely in line with that. And then the next part of the conversation is, well, he was hurt last year. It's like, well, he played. Like, nobody else gets that excuse. Like, if you're healthy enough to play, you're healthy enough to play. So I feel like there's been a little bit too much of the excuse-making for Trevor Lawrence to this point in his career. I get it. The conditions for him were about as bad as they get in his first year, and Urban Meyer was a total train wreck, and it's hard to overcome that. So I'm not saying that some of these aren't legitimate excuses. I'm just saying there's a whole lot of them. Well, it's Urban Meyer, and he was hurt last year, and that's why he hasn't been the guy. And it's like, well, okay, let's see. Like, I feel with all that in the background, if he was going to be that generational player, I feel like you should have seen a little bit more than we've seen from him so far.
I am willing to give him a pass on the first season because Urban Meyer was like a historically awful
it was terrible.
Coach. What, he lasted, what, 13 games? His last game was against the Titans, wasn't it?
I think it was.
And you just knew
I have to go back and look,
that it wasn't going to. I think I remember it because there was the video of him and Vrabel doing the handshake, and it was like
very
Vrabel,
quick.
It was very quick. I have to find
it's
this
like a
video.
Drive-by, yeah.
And the look on Meyer's face, he was catatonic. Like, he knew, like, it was done for him. They it was almost like a mercy. It was a mercy firing for him, for the organization. They just had to cut ties and just get rid of him. It was a mistake. So it's easy to brush that aside. But I agree with you in terms of the injury factor because it's important for a quarterback to stay healthy. Now, there are other factors. As we know here in Tennessee, offensive line play can play a big role in a quarterback's health. And I don't think his offensive line, Lawrence's that is, was up to snuff last year. I think they were dealing with some injuries too. So that could have played a part in it. I don't know. I did not watch every single Jacksonville Jaguars game closely. Also, I would like to give us all credit for having this discussion throughout the show, and no one has said Jaguars. That should have been my rant for today with all of the talk about Trevor Lawrence.
There's a lot of Jaguars out there.
There's no Jaguars. It's Jaguars, not wires. Either way. I think his record is 20-30 as a starter.
Yep.
And that's not good. But again, we just talked about the reasons for that. But if he is able to find the level that he did when he helped lead the Jaguars past the Titans to the AFC South title 2 seasons ago, and he can find that consistently, it could end up being a bargain for a quarterback, considering that soon enough, he's not going to be tied with Joe Burrow as the highest paid quarterback by APY because Tua Tagovailoa could be ahead of him and Dak Prescott could be ahead of him. And there are others I'm not mentioning. But yes, I think when you look at this division as a whole, if you are just a fan of good quarterback play, I think you should be excited that these four quarterbacks could develop into, I mean, that would be great if you could have, like, when was the last time that happened? You had four young quarterbacks simultaneously in the same division kind of growing up together.
Particularly three that have come from the same draft class.
Yeah.
Like, I'm reminded of this as I look this up, as my internet starts to work. I knew this before. I guess I'd just forgotten about it. Like, Will Levis is older than Trevor Lawrence, which is kind of amazing. Like, Will Levis, he will turn 25 in, like, 2 weeks. Trevor Lawrence is 25 in October. It's like, Will Levis is the oldest quarterback in the AFC South.
That's funny.
Which is pretty funny to think about. I knew that before, but just being reminded of it is pretty funny. So, like, that part of it is unique in terms of three of them coming from the same. It rarely falls that way in the draft where three teams, number one, need a new quarterback, and number two, get them all in the same draft. So Richardson, Stroud, Levis all coming from the same draft is really what makes this thing unique. And then you've got the Lawrence part of this being a number one overall pick, but not just any number one overall pick. Like, he was supposed to be the guy, the generational player. So it's a really intriguing quarterback division from the standpoint of it could be like this could be the balance of power for the next decade in the AFC South. It could be all these guys. Like, all these guys could be around for a long time. We could be doing a radio show 10 years from today, and all four of these guys could still be the quarterback of their team. Like, that just doesn't happen very often in the NFL.
No. And I think about some of the other divisions. We talked about this a little bit earlier as well. Just looking at the quarterback landscape in the other divisions, the AFC East immediately comes to mind for some reason. So you have Josh Allen, who's established himself as one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You have Aaron Rodgers, who has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league and everything that comes with that. You have Tua, who's about to get paid, and your mileage may vary on Tua. We know that Jared doesn't like Tua.
Yep.
And in New England, they drafted Drake May, right? But they have Jacoby Brissett, who might start early on. So not a lot going on there. Just the fact, and then there are other divisions where the quarterbacks are intriguing for the wrong reasons. We talked about the NFC South with Derek Carr and Baker Mayfield and Kirk Cousins and
Bryce Young.
So, but no, I think this is the best division in terms of the possibility of what these quarterbacks could become. And it would be great if 5 years from now, all of these guys are still on their teams and they're growing up together, battling against each other. It'll make it really fun to watch.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Weekend Winners. The Vols in action tonight in Omaha. We'll pick that game against Florida State. Game 4 of the Cup Final. Game 4 of the NBA Finals. We'll get to all that and more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Road have weekend winners for you. Now on ESPN. 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. A quick standings update in the competition. Nick Kieser, 6-0 last week. 6-0 with his lock. I went 4-2, no lock. Joe went 3-3 with his lock. The overall standings. I remain in first place, 56-40 overall, 12-4 in my lock, 68 points. Joe Rexroad in second, 53-43, 11-5 on his lock, 64 points, 4 points behind me. Nick Kieser with his charge last week, 55-41. 6-10 on his locks, 61 points. Only 3 points back of Joe Rexroad in second place.
I am stoked. And look, credit has to go to David Janes, because if it wasn't for David, I would not be in this spot today at all. I
mean, you would not.
That's pretty fair to say.
You would not, but you did go 6-0 by yourself.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Absolutely. Hey, I hit my lock. That's more surprising, honestly.
That is more surprising. All right, we begin with Omaha today. The Tennessee Volunteers in action tonight, taking on the Florida State Seminoles. I'll start with this, and we're going straight up the winner tonight. I will go Tennessee. Florida State's really good. I mean, we're getting to the point now where if you're in Omaha, everybody you're playing is really good. So Florida State, they put up about 1,000 runs last week in their first game. Who'd they play last week, Nick? Didn't you pick that? It was like Florida State. They scored like 24 runs or whatever.
Oh, yeah, they did. They played,
I can't remember who it was.
Oh, I can't either. Was it UNC?
It was not.
Was it not UNC? No, it wasn't. Yeah.
Anyway, they scored a ton of runs last week. But I have confidence that Tennessee, their pitching staff, and their lineup will be enough tonight. So I will go Tennessee straight up against Florida State, although I don't feel great about it. Adam, who is picking for Joe, who we got between Tennessee and Florida State?
I'll also go Tennessee.
Okay.
I mentioned earlier this week that the head coach of the Florida State baseball team, Link Jarrett,
yep.
was the head coach of the Notre Dame baseball team when they eliminated Tennessee
that is
in
true.
2022. So I'm going to say they get a little bit of a measure of revenge.
Okay.
I'm going to say Tennessee tonight.
All right. So Adam and I going with the Vols. Nick Kuezer, Vols against Florida State
yeah.
in Omaha.
Same here for me. And the last time that these two teams played, by the way, for some context, was 2007. Florida State has the all-time series lead. The Vols, I think, only have 7 wins against them, and they've not beaten them at all since 1998, I believe I researched last week.
Wow.
So there is
I can
that.
Remember another game between Tennessee and Florida State in 1998, which I guess technically would have been in 1999.
Yeah.
That went Tennessee's way.
Yeah, so, that's right.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, and by the way, the team that you were looking for that Florida State trounced last week was UConn.
There you go. Shout out to the Huskies. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow between the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. The Stanley Cup will be in the building. Florida with an opportunity to complete the sweep. Which would be the first sweep in a Stanley Cup final since 1998. Adam, you're up first. Straight up, who you got between the Panthers and the Oilers?
I think the Oilers are demoralized. I thought they would win last night. I think we both thought they would win last night. They had a furious rally in the third. They didn't quite make it. They're down 3-0. As we mentioned, it has been since 1998 that there was a sweep in the Stanley Cup final when the Red Wings swept the Capitals. I'm going to say that falls, and I'm going to say that the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup tomorrow.
Okay.
That is not my lock, but okay. They will win the Stanley Cup tomorrow.
All right, so going with the sweep for Florida. Nick Kuezer, Florida and Edmonton in Game 4.
Yeah, I'm with Adam. I do think they are demoralized. Not that McDavid's ever exciting when he's talking post-game, but it definitely felt like that team was way off. Yesterday after that loss, it just was absolutely crushing for them. Yep, I think Florida wins it. Bobrovsky gets that Conn Smythe, so should be a fun one. But yeah, I think Florida gets it done.
Give me Edmonton. I'm going with the Oilers
okay.
to keep their season alive.
You gonna lock it?
I'm not gonna lock it, but I will take the Oilers to win and then Florida in game 5 to come back and win.
All right. Home
ice. But I will go Edmonton keeping their season alive in game 4. And avoiding the sweep. I think McDavid, Draisaitl are due for a couple to find the back of the net. I think they will in game 4. Game 4 coming up also between the Celtics and the Mavericks, I believe tonight.
Yes.
Celtics favored by 1 point. Nick Kuezer, we begin with you. Celtics are favored by 1 on the road with an opportunity to wrap up an NBA title. Who we got?
I don't think Kristaps will play. Doesn't really matter, but I do think the Celtics get the job done. So a clean sweep and... Look, I'll be really sad if this ends in a sweep and then also the hockey series ends in a sweep. It's going to be very lackluster for content the next week.
Celtics lock. The Mavs are done. Celtics are going to – they will win tonight by 10-plus. They're going to win. They're going to dominate. Celtics, and I'm locking it down. Adam Vingan, Celtics and Mavs coming up tonight in game 4.
I'm also going to pick the Celtics. I like the Mavericks, but they just – you know, they – the Celtics just are a better team, and I just think there is a talent edge there that the Mavericks have been unable to overcome. So I'm going to take the Celtics, and I, too, will lock it in.
Wow. Lock it down.
Celtics. Where's my – there, thank you. Celtics. Celtics. Complete the sweep. So I'm predicting 2 sweeps this weekend.
There we go. We move to the individual portion of the program. Nick Kuezer, you're first. Individual selection.
All right, boys, in the Euros, let's go with Germany over Scotland this afternoon at
what
2
sport?
P.m.
You're soccer. Playing soccer?
Yeah, the Euros. Good. Yeah.
You say that as if I'm like, oh, yeah, the Euros. Okay, cool.
I mean, hey, man, I like soccer.
Okay. No, nothing wrong with soccer. I'm just saying. So who was that again?
Germany over Scotland.
Germany over Scotland. Okay.
Frazier's a huge fan of the pick, too.
Okay. Well, is Germany like a huge overwhelming favorite?
I don't know that to be certain. They're hosting it, is what he's saying.
So are they the favorite?
I would presume so.
Great pick by you, then. Awesome. All right, Adam Vingan, your first individual selection.
All right, I'm going to apologize to Joe in advance because I'm flying a little blind here.
He's not going to win anyway.
I'm trying to help him out. There's an interesting series in Major League Baseball. The Phillies at the Orioles.
Yes.
Two of the top teams in Major League Baseball going at it. I think you said Orioles were favored by 1.5.
That is correct.
Tonight,
home.
I'm taking the Phillies.
Phillies plus the 1.5.
Yes, against the Orioles. I'm taking the Phillies plus 1.5 against the Orioles.
All right, what the hell is wrong with people?
I will go with North Carolina to take down Virginia today in the College World Series as well. So give me, that's a really good matchup. We were talking about that earlier this week with Ben McKee. But I'll go with North Carolina to take down Virginia, which means if it plays out that way and Tennessee wins and North Carolina wins, we'll have Tennessee and North Carolina coming up. But
hey,
I'm going North Carolina to take down Virginia. Adam, your second individual selection.
I'll keep it at the College World Series. I will go to Saturday when Kentucky plays NC State.
Yep.
And I'm going to pick an upset here.
Mm.
I'm going to go with my ACC heart.
Nice.
And pick the Wolfpack to upset Kentucky in that game.
Going with NC State against Kentucky. Nick Kieser, your second individual selection.
I'll stick to the majors. Give me the Toronto Blue Jays over the Cleveland Guardians this afternoon.
Do you know what the line is?
-1.5.
For who?
For the Blue Jays.
Okay, so Blue Jays -1.5 against the Guardians. I will go Yankees -1.5 against the Red Sox in a rivalry that, you know, I guess if you want to go by baseball rivalry, is the best baseball rivalry, but not a great one right now. Yankees are pretty good. Yankees -1.5 against the Red Sox. Adam Bingen, your final individual selection.
All right, I'll keep it back to Major League Baseball, and you're going to have to give me the line on this one.
Okay.
I'm looking for a good matchup here. How about we'll head to Los Angeles.
Okay.
We'll pick the Royals at the Dodgers. What's the line for tonight?
Dodgers -1.5.
I'll take the Dodgers.
Dodgers -1.5 against the Kansas City
Royals. It's hard
City
picking
Royals.
Baseball, man.
It is. That's why if the Cup Final and the NBA Final are over with, this is our final edition of Weekend Winners of the year. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection.
I'm going to go Padres -1.5 over the Mets. I know the Mets walked it off last night, but hey, San Diego can bounce back.
Well, the Mets aren't going to win that many, so yeah,
that's
probably
true.
Probably a good pick by you.
Yeah,
I'll go with the Brewers -1.5 against the Cincinnati Reds. We'll see if the Cup Final and the NBA Finals are both over with by this time next week, which they will be. We'll see what happens. This will be our final edition of Weekend Winners for the year, and barring a comeback, which we could see, we'll see what happens this weekend. I will be the champion. We'll see what happens. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Our final thoughts heading into the weekend, we'll get into Tennessee's matchup against Florida State. Coming up next, take your thoughts any way you want to take it on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingen, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Speaking of Friday, today, the Tennessee Volunteers in action tonight, coming up in Omaha in the College World Series. They play at 6 o'clock on ESPN. They'll be taking on Florida State. Obviously, there is pressure on Tennessee. They are the number one overall seed. We've talked about this. A number one seed heading into Omaha has not won the national championship since 1999, which when you really think about it, is one of the most incredible things in sports. Like, it's pretty incredible that the number one overall seed has not won the College World Series in 25 years to this point. Tennessee going to try to snap that. And I said it last segment. I mean, we've reached the point of the season where every team you play is really good. So Florida State, 47-15 this year in the ACC. Virginia, North Carolina on their side of the bracket as well. So there's some really good teams that Tennessee is going to have to go through here if they're going to win a national championship. They did win a game in Omaha last year. You know, the first time they were there under Tony Vitello, they went 0-2 and were done. They did win a game last year, and then they ran into LSU and Paul Skeens and that buzzsaw that was the LSU Tigers last year. So once they've gotten to Omaha, there's not been a ton of success there for Tennessee to this point. I do think, you know, this is the third time they've gotten there in the last 4 years. I do think we've reached the point where you need to see them make a little noise while they're there. And we can get back into the what defines success, what is success for Tennessee baseball, and Tony Vitello's rant that he went on last week. But I do think with this team being the number one overall seed, I'm not saying it's like championship or bust in order to have how you define success for this team, but you need to make a little bit of noise when you're in Omaha. And, you know, if you get to the national title series and you lose, is it the world's worst thing? No. But I think Tennessee is due for a deeper run in Omaha than we've seen to this point.
Yeah, and there's definitely an unfinished business aspect to this, and that is certainly that it can certainly be motivating. But yes, the fact that it has been 25 years since a number one overall seed has won the College World Series seems absurd when you say it out loud. We'll see. I mean, the Tennessee has plenty of power, right? But
oh yeah.
But the park tends to be stingy, right? The Omaha Park, that not a lot of home runs get out of there. So
it's big.
So you know that'll be interesting to see. You know, ESPN.com has a prediction. You know, has a prediction column, a takeaways column, whatever you want to say. And one of the people asked for who's your pick to win it all, and they said, I think whoever wins bracket one between Tennessee and Florida State will win the title. And they say, I'll lean Tennessee because I think it's just too deep at a time of year where that's crucial and it has Omaha experience. So perhaps you're looking at a pseudo national championship game tonight when Tennessee faces Florida State. But
yeah.
We talked about this earlier in the week. You know, the Volunteers have left the we're just happy to be here phase of their college baseball program. You know, something has to give. I mean, if they at the very least, I think they have to make it to the national championship game. If they make it to the title game and lose, it's going to be disappointing, but it's a step forward. I think that's the bare minimum. They have to make it to the title game.
On the cup final front, so Florida gets up 4-1 last night in game three. They're up 2-0 in the series. Edmonton with a big opportunity at home. The crowd was going crazy, and Florida just ran away with it in the second period. Now, Edmonton made it interesting in the third. Got it to 4-3, had a couple of really good looks after that when it was 4-3 to tie the game, try to extend it, go into overtime and see where the chips fall there. Not able to break through, not able to score when it counted the most. And Florida up 3-0. Obviously, they got a chokehold on the series. You know, Florida is in all likelihood going to be the next Stanley Cup champion. I am interested to see how Edmonton responds in Game 4. How surprised are you that the series has played out the way that it has, with McDavid and Draisaitl being very limited in their impact, and with Florida having an absolute stranglehold? I picked Florida to win the series heading into it, so I'm not surprised that they're the better team. But it is surprising to me that it's 3-0 and they are on the verge of a sweep here.
I'm surprised, too, just because Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, they've been undeniable for a long time. Like, even if they're it's very hard to keep them off the score sheet.
Yeah.
And I believe McDavid has 3 assists in the final. He hasn't scored, but I believe he has 3 assists. Leon Draisaitl has 0 points in the series,
which is wild.
I think this might be the first time in his playoff career he's gone 3 consecutive games without a point.
The first time he was in the postseason, he went 4 games without a point.
That's correct. Yes. You are correct. The first 4 games of his postseason career. In 2017 against the San Jose Sharks in the first round. You are correct. Thank you for correcting me. So it's been a very long time since Leon Draisaitl was held without points in 3 consecutive playoff games. And I just the Panthers have just something special. Like their style of game travels well. And you've seen it. You saw it in the goals they scored last night. Once they get below the goal line, it's hard to stop the Panthers.
And then on the NBA front, Celtics and Mavericks tonight. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. It's been underwhelming NBA playoffs, in my opinion. Celtics with a chance to close things out tonight. We'll see if they do. And then once this is over, it's kind of like the dog days. Like you got 5-6 weeks left before training camp begins. In the NFL, you've got the rest of the College World Series here. Major League Baseball is going on. So there's always something going on. And like you said, there are the Olympics coming up this summer. So it's a little bit different that way too. But this is enjoy this. That's why I'm so disappointed that the Cup Final and the NBA Finals haven't been better than they've been. Because, you know, that's really like some of the last days of really enjoyable sports action until we get into August, September, October. And we talked about this the other day on The Choice is Yours, October, potentially the greatest sporting month of the year with everything going on.
I think it absolutely is the best sporting month of the year. And yes, it gets a little slow around this time until we get to NFL training camps in late July. We will have the NHL draft. We have the NBA draft. We have NHL free agency.
Yep.
So we'll have that. But then there's that period in July where it's going to be a little bit slow. But maybe I'll change my vote to best sporting month being September after the news broke, as I discussed yesterday on the best and worst things in sports, that Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi will have a hot dog eating contest on Labor Day live on Netflix. Because, of course, as we've talked about many times this week, very sad.
You're a big fan.
Look, Joey Chestnut.
If there was a Joey Chestnut,
is a treasure. He's an American treasure.
You would be the president.
I mean, look, the guy gets paid a lot of money to gorge on food.
It's true.
I mean, what could be better than that, right?
Yeah. It's true.
It's one of my guilty pleasures of sports watching is July 4th, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. It won't be the same this year because with that there won't be any Joey Chestnut, but Labor Day, sign me up.
I wonder if now that the Lawrence deal has happened, how quickly we could see another quarterback deal come down. Like, you know, Jordan Love was answering questions the other day. Like, it almost kind of felt like they were on the verge of a deal being done. So could Love's deal come down pretty soon? There's the Tua part of this. You know, obviously, I do think Dak Prescott in Dallas is in a little bit different of a situation. But now that the Lawrence deal is done, how quickly could we see another quarterback deal? I'm still waiting on another wide receiver deal too, right? Like Jefferson gets paid the astronomical contract. When will the Jamar Chase deal come down? When will the CeeDee Lamb deal come down? So that now that the bar has kind of been set with Lawrence's new deal, I do wonder how quickly some of these other quarterback deals get done.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But either way, people are getting paid big money no matter what. Very jealous.
Should have been a quarterback.
I should have been a quarterback, but yeah. You know what? I like being here with you guys. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to do that if I was a quarterback.
It's true. Adam, great stuff this week. You're going to be on our station again next week, but appreciate you coming in with us and filling in this week.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yes, I will be filling in for Jared as part of a group, I believe, with Jake and Tehran, I've been told.
Yes.
Next Tuesday. So that'll be really interesting. That's like an odd, it's sort of like an odd thruple situation there.
I like it.
But it should be interesting.
Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.